Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is May speaking. I'm speaking to you from New York, and it's so horrible out there, the rain, and we're flooding. And I don't know what it's like in Nashville, my dear Cynthia. How is it going?
Yeah, we decided to rain in solidarity with you. Hey, what the heck was that at the top of our thing? I didn't think our music was going to start. We were taken over by a cyber alien. That scared me a little bit there. Woo! I thought we were going to have to start singing.
I know. It was just like, are we on? Are we not? We are actually live, guys, out there. I mean, I just all of a sudden went silent, and I went,
yeah.
Too long a silence. We're not used to this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know,
so
maybe we need to get a little song and dance routine up just in case that happens.
Yes. But we're back live for everyone, and we do have a guest today, which I'm excited. I met this woman a couple of weeks back in Seattle, and she has a great little gallery out there that I was just at, but we'll be talking to her in a minute or so. But just so you know, I had my annual party. I was trying to cut down on a few, people coming, and the cutting down was just as, I counted out over 140.
Yeah,
and
so you're never going to cut that back. Never.
I don't
going to happen.
I don't understand. I mean, but you know what? It was great. The weather was perfect. Perfect. It was cool. It was great. My friend, Mark Preston was out there doing the skirt steaks and stuff. And then we had a lot of people. It was like it was a potluck almost. And the table was covered with food. So not dessert, so nobody goes into sugar shock. And everybody brought their best. And my Chinese chicken salad didn't even make it from – I held on to it and it was gone by the time I got to the table.
You know, I got one bite of that stinking salad when I came. Well, of course, I was back here in Nashville because Cinderella has to buy her own glass slippers here. So she had to work and she missed it again.
And I will tell you, this was a great one. We had our jam, which we had Joe Bouchard, who was wonderful, singing Don't Fear the Reaper, and the place went wild, since he was members of Blue Oyster Cult. And we had so many, I really want to thank the guests, they all played, Matty Amendola even played, and so did Billy, and everybody made it back in time for everybody that was, Wayne Cobham and Frankie Vinci, and it was, Bobby, and it was just good fun. And I will say, Ipatha, Murkison was there. Essie Pather Murkison. If nobody knows that name, she's the actress that played Lieutenant Van Buren on Law and Order for so many years. And we also had Betty Ann Fishman, who was also here.
Betty Ann, our Betty Ann.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Betty Ann from our old movie days. She's
yes.
assistant director, and she's fabulous. She looks exactly the same, man.
Same,
of
I
course.
Know.
You and I do
I
too.
Know.
Yeah, but I lived the
great.
Party through the pictures, and I was sorry I wasn't there. Yeah.
And Mojo, Mojo is the best. He's been my music director for 10 years. We worked it out 10 years. So there was a lot of new people in here. Everybody comes in, they go, wow, there's a lot of new. The operative word, and it's funny, but it is rotating. I can't have everybody here all the time, because it's just too many. I can't have it. Look at it, it's already 140, and I still had 50 that did not reply. So could you imagine? 50 that did not reply. So, if everybody
I think a lot
in,
of people think
like,
that you only have celebs there, and that couldn't be further from the truth. While it is peppered with some of your famous friends, it's a lot of normal folk too, and it really is a great time. And I'm sorry,
my neighbors,
I really am.
Yeah, because it would have been great. You know, my neighbors were there. And oh, this time, talk about political. I had a Manhattan district attorney, someone from, you know, an ADA from Manhattan, had an ADA from my area. I had the judge from this county. I had a few political.
This could have been a good wife episode. Come on
this
now.
This could have been. And it was great. And I also had an editor of our local newspaper here, and it was great. It was just great. And so it was a lovely. People turned the corner and all they saw were cars. They didn't know where to, you know, where should I go? It was a lot of fun. It definitely was. And everybody didn't want the night to end. They didn't want to go home, but they said, I guess I have to, huh? You know, the cleanup.
Yeah.
I could have used the help. No, I have great help. Janine, Mojo, they were terrific.
We love
her. And everybody else has stayed behind. And, oh, I had special people that came in from L.A. Stan. You know, Stan, the hot sauce man. He makes
my
hot sauce
guy. Yeah, he just sent me a friend request on Facebook. He said if I want samples, he'll send me some. So I'm going to get hot-sauced.
And a lot of them have written out. They said they loved it and they had a great time. You know, and I gave out samples. You know, it was good. It was really
cool.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Well,
you have been
all over the place, and we didn't do a show Monday because both of us needed a recovery day. Then I got this brilliant stroke of genius that we needed to have this fabulous chick that runs the art studio where you had your photographs out in Seattle. You know, you and I always – and still there. They're through the 6th, right? June 6th, yeah, called Lennon. And people, you got to go – first of all, you got to go out and check out the thing because May's got her photographs there, and they're fab. But – you also have to check out this studio and this woman because it truly fits our ideal of what we like to call a great broad.
Yes, a great broad.
You know, she really does. Her name is Julie Barrow, and she runs Crab Jab Studio. Not only that, she's also an artist, illustrator in her own right. And
correct.
Her studio features art and creative expressionism that – you know, that extends beyond the boundaries of just photographs or paintings. And she is really, really fabulous. And you already got to meet her now. I'm getting to meet her on the phone. And we would like to welcome you, Julie, to the show.
Yay.
Hey, Julie.
Hello.
That's great. Now, Julie and I hit it off. You know, and I just told her, I said, we can't do our two-hour we mean to only have a five-minute conversation, and it ends up like 2 hours. And but she's fabulous. Her background is so amazing. I mean, not only everyone that she's an artist, but she was also like a roller derby queen. I mean, serious. That's great. I mean, what?
Did you have a roller derby name, Julie? Did you have a special name?
I did, yeah. I had my roller derby name was Jinx, and I skated with the Rat City Roller Girls for about 6 years, starting back in 2004. So it was way back in the day. I mean, way back in the day for the new roller derby, not, you know, old school. But I skated until I pretty much broke myself into pieces and then focused on art.
Well, before we came on the air, I told Julie, remember May when I was doing that little show and we were going out and shooting stuff, and I actually skated with the roller derby chicks here in Nashville, and I am here to tell you, those girls are not playing. It is serious. And my hat is off to you that you did it for 6 years, Julie. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's for real. It's a real sport, and the girls train really hard several times a week, and they do get really hurt. It's not, you know, like, I mean, even wrestling can be physical, you know, even the stuff that's fake. But yeah, it's not fake at all. I mean, I've torn ligaments, I've broken bones, I've had several concussions. So,
yeah, I've heard all about those, and it's sort of frightened me.
You just decided to put down your paintbrush one day and say, yeah, I'm going to be a roller derby queen. That is just wild to me. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, when I started, I was kind of like, oh, this looks like a lot of fun. And I, you know, I played soccer. I played sports. So it wasn't like a huge transition for me in terms of jumping from doing nothing to suddenly, you know, doing roller derby. And, you know, when you're young and excited, or younger and excited to do something, you kind of, you put up with the negative parts, which happens to be, you know, hurting yourself. It's just so much fun. So I didn't mind actually getting hurt. In fact, a lot of times, a lot of girls would hide their injuries and keep playing, uh-huh. which is, you don't want to do, but it really is a lot of fun. So that's why it was such a, it is such a huge phenomenon around the world, you know, with so many women and young girls now. There's like little girls.
Really, Julie, like women that, like the one that I participated in, there were lawyers, a couple of doctors, some teachers. I think everybody thinks, oh, roller derby chicks are, you know, from the wrong side of the tracks, you know. But they were like all professional people, and they did it at first for the exercise, and then I guess it just becomes so addictive you can't give it up.
Oh, yeah, it's really... It's not only just fun; it's kind of the whole package. I mean, you're on a team. You get a, you know, there's a camaraderie to it. There's competition. There's challenges, personal challenges, and also team challenges and league challenges. And you also get to run. A lot of the leagues are run by the skaters, so you also get an opportunity to really focus on running the entire league. You know, at being part of a business. And a lot of the girls that I played with wound up, you know, a lot of them were entrepreneurs and wound up becoming very successful in their own rights with their own businesses. And so it's really, like I said, it's just all of that stuff. It's like just more than just a sport or an exercise for a lot of these girls. So, yeah.
Well, you're a little entrepreneur yourself, Chicklet, with this Crab Jab Studio. Well, let's talk first about my girl, May. She comes out there. You're doing an exhibit called Lennon Girls. Go ahead. Talk about it.
Well, you know, I just got to tell you, just to go back for 2 seconds, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it because, you know, I'm very particular. But she told me how it came to her that it just fell into a spot. It was just strange. You can take it from there, Julie.
It was really, there was a lot of weird synchronicities, I guess, involving the show. I mean, things from little, like when the show came to me through one of the artists, Tim Bruckner, who called me because he thought the art that was being created for the initial art, because there's more art created later on. But early on, back in September, he was really impressed with the work that people did, and which I know, May, you saw as well, initially for a tour or something that was canceled. And I told him it sounded really cool, but I didn't have any months left in 2015. And he insisted that I check. And the weird first thing that happened was I noticed that I had skipped over the month of May, which I don't ever skip over a month. I mean, there's only 12 of them. So that's kind of weird, you know. I was like, oh, well, I have May. Do you guys want that? And he was like, absolutely. But I'm still kind of on the fence with it, just because it was a little different than the shows that we tend to do, which are mostly publication-based shows with illustrators. And although these artists are involved in the entertainment industry that we are touch into, I'm still kind of like, you know, it might be kind of a weird one. I don't know. So I made a bet with myself that if a John Lennon song or a Beatles song came on the air when I got in the car on the radio, that I would do it. But part of me was like, that's not going to happen, right? You know? So what happens is I jump in the car and turn on the radio, and I think it was Imagine that came on. And I was like,
no.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, the whole funny part.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do it. And then from there, you know, May and I kind of touched back and forth. I was given May's contact information. We touched back and forth, and I knew she was really busy. And I think, what was it, May? You were starting to feel kind of bad after a while because we were – Had a problem connecting.
Yes, I was doing so many different things, and I said, "Oh my God, I kept looking, and time is going by." And I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't answer you." There were a few things I was working on, and then of course with the snowstorm that in between, it was kind of mm-hmm. difficult to even walk out the door at times to get things done. I told her when we were doing it, I said, at the end when I finally committed. And she said, you have time, because there were a few things I had concerns with. And then when I finally committed, I said, I'm going to send you nine prints, nine photographs. I said, because that was always the number for John. And I said, I will do nine. And
right.
then I picked out that and sent it on. And, you know, for me, I've kept thinking, oh, my God, I'm late, you know, because everything was just happening. It went quickly, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, everything was flying together, and the show was actually flying together. We picked up a couple more artists for this show.
Right.
The artists decided that they wanted to pick songs that they really loved out of John's catalog and do artwork that represented a song that they loved. And both in the Beatles genre and also in his solo work. And so I wound up getting, and then strangely enough, the amount of artists involved was nine? So that was kind of interesting. And then the show opened May 9th. So, it was really coming together in that sort of creepy, weird, cool way. And
I wasn't coming out there. That was the whole thing. I was just doing it all from home. You know,
everything
was just being done. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, it was like, we'd like for you to come out there. And I said, what?
Yeah.
So we worked it
out. Let's have you out. And you were definitely open to it, which was awesome. And also, it turned out that Tim Bruckner was going to be around as well. And he, as you know, he also did some work back in the early days with Harry Nilsson and Ringo, which I didn't even know. And the artists were excited. I wish all of them, they all wanted to be there so bad. I talked to several of them who were really jealous of you and Tim. And then every time May and I talk, we talk for literally hours. So we knew, and what was the other thing? Food was the other thing, because I kept asking you, what do you want to eat when you're out here? And you said, anything.
She'll eat anything. Yeah, she will.
She knows. I do. And this is the funny part. She took me to a diner. We had breakfast, my favorite, meal. And we both ordered exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was our favorite thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Crazy. So we knew that it was meant to be.
I make no bones about the fact that I'm really not a Beatles fan. Now, when I say that in front of Beatles people, it's like I'm lucky they don't, you know, bring stakes. But I appreciate the volume, the catalog of music. Now, having known May, because May and I have known each other for right around when electricity was invented, and having known her this long and, you know, on a personal level and realizing how much she's associated with the Beatles and people not really even knowing that there's a whole other side to her. She's a photographer. She's an author. She also worked in the music business. You know, there's a whole other side to her. So when she goes out and she makes these appearances and people find this out about her, I think in some ways it's almost a surprise because they think, oh, well, that's John Lennon's old girlfriend, and there's just so much more to the girl, you know.
You know that I was recently turned down. It was funny because they said from a speaker bureau, they said, "Oh no. There's not really a whole lot of people that ask for that type of information." And I started to laugh. I said, "If this was a guy, they would in 2 seconds they would be saying we'd like that person in that area to come talk to us because they had no idea that I did so much work behind the scenes."
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, I know. I did, because I did the talk in the Q&A when I was at the gallery.
Yeah, in fact, I'm still working on editing that video, but that will be up on our channel. In my spare time, yeah. I switched out video editors, and I have to learn this new one, so because it's so much better than my old one. But, yeah, I'm going to try to get that one out. I'm hoping today or tomorrow, actually. And that was really cool to hear about your days at Apple and the work, you know, where the photos were taken, you know, and the fact that I think what people really enjoyed about this show is there's a very intimate element to it with all, not just the photos, but everything, because you can really feel kind of the love for this person and the art that he manifested through music. And then, you know, it's just, that's what I get every time someone comes into the space and they look at the photos and they all, everything sort of bounces off of each other. And you just get a really strong sense of who this person really was. Like you get, like your photos really capture it. The art really captures it. And it just, everybody just kind of really sucks it all in and kind of, you know, oh my gosh, you know, it just, I hope you agree, May. I mean.
No, I do. I mean, listen, I was very flattered because a lot of them, when they looked at John, they was like, they felt they were right in there with him, that they knew him. And it was great because I saw him differently than a photographer coming for the day, coming to just hang out and do photos. Because I get the intimate side of him. There's no guards coming up. You know, he just let me take photos.
Right.
And that's what you got.
Feel that. I mean, yeah. You really feel it. Even the pictures of, like, the one picture of Paul McCartney, you know, where he's just sitting in your guys' living room area playing piano.
Oh, yeah, right. This was out in the West Coast, and he was just playing.
Yeah. And it's
yeah.
just even that, you know, it's just kind of like a very quick, intimate moment. And everybody, you know, I think that's what everyone appreciates is you feel like you're getting behind everything, you know, behind all the stardom stuff and into what it's really all about. And that's what I was really excited about when this show came and we assembled it. And even the opening, people were just so excited to be able to just walk up to people. I mean, it just felt like you were in a living room almost. You know, it's
right.
The living room feeling still, you know. And I know that the visitors were just, I keep hearing praise from the visitors. And I'm not just tooting the studio's horn. It's not really us. It's we're just kind of providing the space for this amazing collection of work, and that's why it's driving everyone crazy that my space is so tiny. And we're in Seattle because, you know, I'm like, I wish this show would tour. You know, like, it's just so amazing. You know.
Well, we still have chances. I mean, I know you, and I know that you'll work hard on that one. And
yeah.
I'm behind you. That's whatever it needs. I'm there for you.
Oh, because
she's great.
You.
No, you know that. I mean, we talked a lot, and I think having worked with you, I see there's people you work with, and you go, okay, I never want to work with these people again. And then there are other people that said, she's got it down. That's fine.
Yeah,
you know, because there's always that, you know, and it's wonderful.
I think that if anybody goes to, and it's KRABJAB Studio, if they go to your website and they see that this is so much more than an art gallery, it's really a creative gallery, an expression gallery. It's really encompasses a lot of things, and I'm really, really impressed with the different aspects that you present to people, because people think art, you know, they think it's restrictive. They don't understand that there's so much to it, you know.
There's so many types of art. We definitely have a specific genre that we focus on, but we're open because the art world is always changing and morphing, and people are always finding new ways of expressing themselves. And you know, I'm a huge fan of the work that I show. It's not like I just show work so I can sell it or, you know, whatever. It's stuff that I would stand behind forever. You know, like I just stand behind my artist and my art, and the work is top-notch because the artists want it to be top-notch. You know, I really let them do their thing, and I don't really dictate a whole lot.
What you do is you guide us along.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
And artists need guidance. They do. They to stay
we
focused.
All need guidance. We definitely need guidance.
We're naturally kind of lazy, and we tend to. And I mean, we're hardworking, lazy people, you know. And some ways we're kind of like, you know. In other ways, we just work really hard on our craft. And then we're very a lot of them are very unsure of themselves and aren't, you know, and so a lot of times I am actually also a psychiatrist without, you know, prescribing
pills
or anything.
That's it, Meg. I'll be being committed after this conversation is, oh, Lordy,
yeah.
Lordy.
Sorry.
That is amazing. I'll bet you that really works for you as an artist because you can tap into so many channels, you know, through what you've had to learn and what you've experienced. That's why. You are a roller derby psychiatrist. There's a movie here. There's a heart to heart episode. Come on.
I know. Well, at least a Lifetime, you know, TV show or something.
Lifetime movie, yes.
But,
she was a psychiatrist by day and a roller derby queen by night.
I know. But I think also too, you know, I've had over 20 years. I look a lot older than I look younger than I am. But I've had over 20 years of experience being a professional artist, and I understand what it's like to go through the process and the frustrations and things. So it's very easy, and not a lot of gallery owners are artists as well. So it is very easy for me to understand their frustrations and their process and where they're having trouble, or even tap into what makes them excited, which mm-hmm. is my favorite part. And I just love working with them. I mean, they're fun. And the work that they put out is so amazing, you know, when you've got somebody who's really excited about what they're doing and they put something out. You know, if you take a look at the catalog for this Lennon show on our website, you know, you see, of course, you first see May's amazing photos. And then as you go through, you start seeing the illustrations and the sculptures. And they're just unbelievable. And these guys, busy artists, a lot of them work. That's what they do for a living. So having them step aside and build these amazing pieces for the show was just, you know, wow.
Well, listen, we're coming down to time now. And Julie, you and I will be talking and do our usual talk because I miss our two-hour talks.
I do.
And I miss our coffee in the morning and the whole thing and going for the breakfast at Randy's. I mean, I do miss all that. And
of
course, beef hash and extra side of crispy bacon. I mean,
oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Here she goes, Julie. She's found a fellow foodie.
I know. Me and her, we went for it. This show goes until June 6th. So, but if there's somebody else that really needs to see it, I mean, they should just give you a call. But anyway, and that's on the website. What is it? CrabJabStudio.com? Is that it?
Yeah, it's CrabJab Studio. Crab with a K. So it's CrabJab Studio, all in words, .com. And, or they can just, I think if they even just look up May Pang Lennon, Julie Barrow.
And they'll find you.
Yeah, we'll pop up somewhere. So we're pretty prolific.
Cool. So I will be talking to you soon, whichever way.
Yes.
And I'm so glad you came on. I really am. And like I said, I miss our hang. And I miss, listen, the Georgetown Inn, that was great. I loved the hotel. That was wonderful.
Oh, I know.
And,
they're awesome.
I really liked them. They were great. Please tell them thank you. And you know what, Cynthia? One of these days, you and I just got to go up to Seattle.
I know. We can, Julie and I can go rollerblading down near the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll shove
I'll
each other. It'll get wild.
I know.
And then, ladies, she can analyze all my problems. It's a full-time career.
I know. We can talk about your issues
with
the creative.
Yeah, we got to go. So,
all right,
okay.
Julie, listen,
Julie,
it was great having you on. Best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay, love her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
hey,
listen.
We got to jump off, Chicklet. We're out of time.
We're out of time. We will talk to the next time when we have our next guest next week somewhere or in the future.
Yep.
This is May
talking
and saying, see you soon.
And I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.